Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shi'ur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin at the top line of Daf Chof Gimel Omer Aleph. During our previous shiur, at the end of our previous shiur, we started a Mishnah. The Mishnah is a rather lengthy one, and we are dealing with an issue of a doubt that arises concerning two pieces, two elements, and he is not sure of which one. That's a very general statement. The illustrations of the Mishnah will speak for themselves. We're starting with example number two at the top line. And you can see we're continuing a numbering scheme that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the text. You see a number two in a house form. The Mishnah continues. Chatichas chelev v'chatichas chulin. There are two pieces in front of this person. One of them is chelev, a forbidden substance, and the other one, chulin, common food. Ochal achas mehen v'eino yodea ezo mehen ochal. And he ate one of them, and he doesn't know which one he ate. Mevi osham tolui. So that's a classic situation concerning which he would bring the osham tolui sacrifice, a sacrifice brought when there is a matter of doubt concerning a possible sin that, if he was aware, he would bring a korban chatos, and if he had violated it willingly, he would be chayev kores. The story goes on, ochal es hashnia mevi chatos. If after eating the first piece, which he didn't know which one that was, he then ate the second piece, we can now say he definitely violated the eating of chelev. Either way, one of the two pieces was chelev, and he now has eaten it. A third example, under this heading, ochal echod es rishona uvo achir v'ochal es hashnia. Here, you have two people that are participating in the eating. One eats the first piece, and a second party comes and eats the second piece. Ze mevi osham tolui, veze mevi osham tolui. It's true that both pieces were eaten, but each individual doesn't know which piece he ate. He ate something that might have been chelev. So each one brings an osham tolui. Reb Shimon omer shneim mevi'im chatos achas. Reb Shimon, as we had seen earlier in the end of our previous shiur, he says both of these individuals bring one korban chatos, one sin offering, because between the two of them, chelev was definitely eaten, and they would make a condition, a tenai. Each one would say to the other that if you were the one that ate the chelev, then my contribution to this is nimchal. I am assigning it to you. I'm bestowing it unto you, so that it becomes your korban chatos. Reb Yossi Oimer, Ein Shnayim Mevi'in Chatos Achas. Reb Yossi disagrees, as we saw in our previous example, at the end of our last year, that he doesn't accept this idea of two people bringing one korban and bringing it with a on condition. Another case, Chatos Chelev v'chatichas Chelev v'chatichas Kodesh, a piece of chelev and a piece of korban, of sacrificial meat. The Shita Mikubetzis adds in the Girsa that this is v'chatichas chelev kodesh. It's a piece of chelev that was sanctified. But for our purposes, we will just read the text as it is. Chatichas kodesh, a piece of korban meat. The Rashi seems to learn it like that. On the first narrow line, Rashi says, Chatichas chelev v'chatichas shuman dekodesh. Shuman is allowed substance, is an allowed substance. Ochal achas mehen ve'en yodea eza mehen ochal. He ate one of the two pieces, and he doesn't know which piece he ate. Mevi osham tolui. This is why we would prefer the explanation that Rashi gives for this, because with this you do have a doubt whether he in fact ate chelev at all. So, therefore, one piece was chelev, which, if that was the only thing there, he would have brought a korban chatos, but he doesn't know because the other piece was not chelev. It was just a piece of sacrificial meat. He ate one of them, wasn't aware which one. So he brings the Oshem Toli because he may have eaten the chelev piece. Ochal es hashnia mevi chatos the Oshem varai. If he ate the second piece as well, so he definitely ate chelev, that warrants the bringing of a chatos, and the osham vadai, that is a korban brought when one benefits, derives illicit personal benefit from something sanctified. So in this case he ate, and he shouldn't have eaten, the sanctified meat. That is a violation of mi'ilah, and that necessitates the bringing of a korban osham mi'ilois. Another situation, ochal echod es harishona bo achir v'ochal sashnia. We had this scenario before where you have two people involved. One eats the first piece, the second eats the second piece. Ze mevi osham toli v'ze mevi osham toli. Each one being in a state of doubt as to whether they ate the chelev at all, so they bring the osham toli, the sacrifice brought when you're in doubt concerning something that otherwise would have generated a sin offering. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shnehem Mevim Chatos V'Osham. Rav Shimon, like we saw before, he says both bring one sacrifice, and actually two sacrifices, but it's, as far as we are concerned, it's two people bringing the sacrifices that one would have brought, and they bring it making the condition, as we stated before. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Shnayim Mevi'in Chatos V'Osham Echad. Rabbi Yossi, likewise, as we saw before, disagrees that we don't allow two people to join together to bring these kind of sin offerings or sin-related sacrifices. Chatichas Chelev V'Chatichas Chelev Kodesh. There are two pieces. Now, each piece is definitely chelev. However, one of the two pieces, in addition to it being chelev, it happens to be chelev from that which was sanctified. Ochal achas mehen ve'enu de'eza mehen ochal. If a person ate one of the pieces but just doesn't know which one he ate, maybe chatas, he brings a sin offering. The sin offering is brought because he definitely was in violation of chelev. There is a doubt as to did he eat the Kodesh piece? Well, there's no, for Mi'ilah, according to the Tanakhama, there is no Oshom Tolui brought. However, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Af Oshom Tolui. Since Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, and we've seen this before, that an Oshom, a Sofek concerning Mi'ilah, generates an Oshom Tolui, so he brings that as well. So according to Rabbi Kiva, he will be bringing a chatos, because he definitely was a violation of chelev eating, and he also brings the Oshem Toli concerning the doubt concerning the prohibited personal benefit from Kodesh. Ochal es hashnia, if the same person ate the second piece as well, mevi shnei chatois v'osham vadai. He'll bring two chatos, because he had eaten two pieces of chelev, and one Osham Vale, the Osham Mi'ilois. Ochal Echor Es Rishona Vo Achir V'Ochal Es Hashnia. Once again, we have a two-person scenario. Ze Mevi Chatos V'Ze Mevi Chatos. Each one brings a Korban Chatos, which each person definitely ate Chelev. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Ze Mevi Osham Tolui V'Ze Mevi Osham Tolui. Rabbi Kiva adds that each one has a doubt concerning the the kodshim, which according to Rabbi Akiva generates the need for an osham toloi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, zemevi chatos, vezemevi chatos. Each one of these two people definitely ate chalev, so they each one brings a chatos, a sin offering, for the definitive consumption of chalev. Ushneim mevim osham echad, and the two of them will bring an osham vadai. But they bring it together and they make the condition, as we've said before, that if you are the one that sins, so that my contribution is yours, it belongs to you. And if I'm the one that sins, so that what you paid toward this, that is a payment for me. Rabbi Yossi Oimer Ein Shnehem Mevien Osham Echad. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says two people don't bring one korban. Chatichas chelev v'chatichas chelev noisar. Noisar is sacrificial meat that was left beyond its allowed time. The violation of noisar is something that would, if done willingly, if one knowingly violated, would be chayev kores in a state where he, in a situation where he knows he ate noisar, but was not unwittingly, he would bring a korban chatos. So we have here two pieces. One is chelev, and the other is chelev that was from a sacrifice left over. Ochal achas mehen ve'eno yodea ezo men ochal. So mevi chatos, he has to bring a sin offering, because he definitely ate chelev. The osham tolui, and he brings an osham tolui because he may have been in violation of nosar. And the nosar is a type of sin that carries with it, in a case of doubt, the need for an osham toloi. Ochal es hashnia, in the event that this same person ate the second piece as well, mevi gimol chatos. He'll bring three chatos, two because of the two pieces of chelev, and a third chatos because of the nosar violation. Ochal echor asa rishoyne vo achir vi ochal es hashnia. Once again, we have a two-person scenario. So ze mevi chatos vi osham tolui veze mevi chatos vi osham tolui. Each one of the people definitely ate chelev, so they have to bring a chatos, and each one of the people is in a state of doubt whether they violated noisar, so they have to bring an osham tolui. Rav Shimon Omer ze mevi chatos veze mevi chatos. Each one brings a sin offering according to Rav Shimon. Ushneim mevim chatos echad, and the two of them will bring one chatos, because between the two of them there was definitely a nosar violation, we just don't know which one. So they make the condition that we've mentioned earlier in previous sections. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol chatos shehi bo al chet, ein shnayim mevi'in oisa. Any korban chatos that's coming as a result of a sin having been violated, two people don't bring one and make conditions. This is to the exclusion of a chatos ha'oif of women that may have given birth. In a case of two women, and there is doubt concerning which one experienced an actual birth, so a singular korban chatos can be brought, and the women make a condition between themselves, the one who really gave birth, so it is for them, and the other one's contribution is a contribution given to the other person. The Gemara opens up with a question, we have a long question mark. You can see the kuf that's encircled that appears to be the left-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line. We also have a note that to appreciate this Gemara a little more, it's worth looking at the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary, across from here, more or less a few lines up. If we read the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary first, it'll give us a little bit of an introduction to the Gemara. So at the start point, it says, Omar Le Rava Le Rav Nachman. Rava addresses Rav Nachman with a question. Le Rav Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, chatos b'shutves hu dolo maisi travaihu. From Rabbi Yossi's comment at the end of the Mishnah, it seems that he's placing an emphasis on the chatos, that it's a chatos, a sin offering that two people do not bring together. ha osham talui maisi shneim. But if it were dealing if we were dealing with an osham talui, and there was an issue of doubt between two people who violated the sin, dezeh mevi osham talui echod, dezeh mevi osham talui echod. That will lead us into a problem if you say that Rabbi Yossi holds that between the two of them they bring one Osham Tolui, that will make Rabbi Yossi sound like the Tanakama, Hainu Tanakama. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Le Rava Rav Nachman. The Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, it seems to be, and he says this in the Mishnah, he says it a couple of times, that he said, actually we have a little bit of it, we have an arrow here that helps find where he said it initially. The arrow can be aligned with the arrow on the upper part of the page. The Rabbi Yossi chatos hu delo maisu shnehem. It is, Rabbi Yossi seems to be objecting to the two of them bringing a chatos in a joint, in a shutfis fashion. Now, in that same section of the Mishnah, if you look back to the upper part of the page, in fact, if you look at line number 4 from the top, there's a number 3 we have in the Mishnah, Ochal Echol Asarishona Uvo Achir V'Ochal Asashnia. You're dealing with two pieces, one of Chelev and one of Chulin, and you have two people involved. The Tanakama says, Ze mevi osham tolui, veze mevi osham tolui. Reb Shimon had said the two of them bring one korban chatas, and they bring it jointly. Reb Yossi says two people don't bring one korban chatas. So that it seems from Reb Yossi that two people don't bring a korban chatas in a joint fashion. However, ha osham tolui, Maisu Shnehem. However, an Osham Tolui, the two will bring. The only thing Rabbi Yossi seems to be objecting to is that you don't have two people bringing one Korban Chatos. However, the two people will bring each one an Osham Tolui. Ha Osham Tolui, Maisu Shnehem. That means that as far as an Osham Tolui is concerned, each one will bring their own Osham Tolui. Well, Hainu Tanakama. That would make Rabbi Yossi say the same thing as the Tanakama. If you, just to review once again, if you look at the Mishnah on the fourth line from the top, that's case 3, and the next line, the Aleph, it said there, Zemevi Osham Tolui, Zemevi Osham Tolui. Rabbi Yossi appears in this section of the Mishnah, disagreeing seemingly with Reb Shimon, only with Reb Shimon, that he objects to the two of them bringing one Korban Chatos in a joint fashion. However, as far as the Osham Tolui is concerned, each one brings their own Osham Tolui. Well, that's exactly what the Tanakama said. The Tanakama didn't make any mention of bringing a korban chatos. That was Reb Shimon's discussion. So it comes out that Reb Yossi is saying the same thing as the Tanakama, and that can't be because they both appear in one mission. They must be arguing. V'chitema chaticha mishtei chatichos ika binayu. You might say that the issue of the necessity of having two pieces before a korban osham tolui could be brought, and in this case, when the second person is about to eat the piece, the doubtful piece, before he eats it, he's really sitting in front of one piece. The original piece had been eaten by the first person, so that when the second person is about to eat, you don't have two pieces in front. He doesn't have two pieces in front of him. So you might have thought that the issue of the necessity of having two pieces before an Osham Tolui can be brought is the point of difference. Namely, according to the Tanakama, you would not need to have two pieces, and therefore the second person will also bring an Osham Tolui. And according to Rabbi Yossi, the second person will be exempt from an Oshrim Tolui. So maybe that is the point of difference. But we can't say that. V'hotanya Rabbi Yosi Omer, ze mevi Oshrim Tolui, v'ze mevi Oshrim Tolui. We see Rabbi Yosi saying in a brisa. This is another Tanaic source. We see him saying that even the second guy, the second person, brings an Oshrim Tolui. Even though when he is about to eat his piece, there's only one piece left. So how do we make sense of this section of the Mishnah where Rabbi Yosi appears seemingly saying the same thing as the Tanna Kamma? Omar Leh, so Rav Nachman answers, Ho Komash Malon, the point of the Mishnah is to tell us the man Tanna Kamma, who is the Tanna Kamma, Rabbi Yosi. It really is Rabbi Yosi, and that Rabbi Yosi doesn't represent another opinion, but he is really the first opinion in the Mishnah. Chatichas chelev v'chatichas kodesh. Chatichas chelev v'chatichas chelev kodesh. Chatichas chelev v'chatichas chelev noisor v'chulei. Omalei Rova l'Rav Nachman. Once again, as we saw in the opening piece of Gemara, Rova addresses Rav Nachman and says, V'leisi nami Osham Vadai, in the last case where we saw the eating of a Chatichas Chelev Noisar, there was mention of sin offerings needed to be brought, but there was no mention of a Osham Mi'ila being brought. So Rava is asking Rav Nachman, why is there not mention of an Osham Vadai also being brought in this section of the Mishnah, the section dealing with the eating of the Nosar? Why? Why should it have been brought? The Nosar, the Kodesh, who? Nosar is sanctified. It's simply something left over from a sacrifice. Therefore, you're dealing with something that was sanctified. So why is there no mention of an Osham Vadai, namely the Osham, which we would call more specifically an Osham Mi'ila, in this section of the Mishnah? Omar Leh, so Rav Nachman answers, the Les Bei Shove Pruta, the case featured involving the eating of the Nosar is, it's a Nosar that has no pruta value, pruta being the smallest unit of value, and an Osham Mi'ila is brought only when the violation concerns something that had this minimum value to it. Being that we're dealing with a case of an Osham, of a Nosar that didn't have a pruta value, there is no need for the Osham Mi'ila. The Gemara asks, "V'ha meikara deis be shove pruta askinon dekotani osham vadai." In the Reisha, in the earlier part of this Mishnah, there was reference to an osham vadai being brought. We saw in this Mishnah there was a case of chatichas chelev and chatichas kodesh. We had case of chatichas chelev and chatichas chelev kodesh. So the Chelev Kodesh that was mentioned in section, let's say, section 4 of the Mishnah. So with our markings, you can look at Roman numeral number 4. And you can look at case number 2. Case number 2 under Roman numeral number 4 had a fellow eating the two pieces, and in addition to the two chatos, he also brings an osham vadai. That's the osham meilo, so that we see that the chelev kodesh in this Mishnah did have a shove pruta to it. So, how can you say that there is there wasn't a shove pruta to it. Omarle, hahi chaticha deloy noisorhi shavya pruta. That was a piece in the section Roman numeral number 4, case number 2. That was a piece of kodesh, and it had a shavet pruta value to it. Here we are dealing with nosar. That is something that has no value to it. The Gemara asks, well, just because it's nosar, you're saying it doesn't have a pruta value? But there was a case featured back on Daf Yud Gimel, which stated Yesh Oichel Achila Achas. The Gemara there had mentioned a case of one person, one act of eating that generated numerous sacrifices that the offender had to bring, and one of them was an Osham Miilois. The Kotoni Bay Nosar, in that case of the eating, it mentioned that one of the multiple offenses there was the consumption of Nosar, the Kotoni, and it taught over there, may the Arba Chatois be Osham Echad. So you see an Osham being brought, the Osham Vare or the Osham Milos is being brought for someone having eaten Nosar. So you see that Nosar could have a Shove Pruta value to it. Why then, the question comes back, why then in section number, Roman numeral number 5 of our Mishnah, no mention is made of the of an Osham Vadai being brought for his eating Chelev Nosar? Omar Lay, so he answers, Rav Nachman answers, Hahi Begasa, V'hocha Bedaka. These expressions, gasa and daka, there are a couple of different explanations to this. The Rabbeinu Gershom features two explanations. The first of the two explanations is, hahu begasa means he ate a lot. Gasa meaning large amount. He ate a lot, and in eating a lot, so he had a shove pruta of value. The hocha bedaka, here he ate little, and that's why he's not in violation. When he ate the nosar, he was eating a small quantity, and therefore he didn't experience a shove pruta of value. Inami, another explanation for a distinction between our Mishnah here and the Mishnah on that which we learned back on Daf Yud Gimel. Hahi bimois hakshomim. That was during the cold season. And meat, the nosar, was still preserved. It didn't go bad. But hocha bimois hachamo. Here, it's during the hot season, and the nosar rotted. And therefore, it doesn't have a shove pruta to it. Ochal echod es horishona v'chule. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin where we have our nosei, a topic heading, and we've written here kushya. A question is raised. The Reb Shimon b'mishnah yoytze the iser chalal iser. According to Reb Shimon in the Mishnah, it seems that a second prohibition can attach itself to an earlier prohibition. And what is that? Isser nosar, the nosar prohibition, chal l'cha'ira al isser chelev, is attaching itself to something that was previously forbidden as being chelev. In other words, for eating the chelev of nosar, it appeared that Reb Shimon said that there would be a double chatos requirement for having eaten chelev of nosar, which means that the nosar, which is a subsequent type prohibition, attaches itself to the chelev, which was already prohibited. Chelev is prohibited in any animal, even a non-sanctified animal. Nosor is something that comes about only after having sanctified, sacrificed, and left, leaving over the meat. Our problem is v'horeb shimon sover de'ein iser chal a iser. That is what we've written in our introductory note. But we know Reb Shimon to object to this idea of Isser Chal Al Isser, namely that when something is labeled as prohibited, subsequent prohibitions don't attach to it. In other words, according to this idea, an item cannot be labeled as having multiple prohibitions. Now the Gemara, and we should note the structural note here, the Mivneh. We have a trapezoid form or a volcano shape, which we've labeled here Ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a back and forth style discussion where there's a give and take in the Gemara. It's quite noteworthy that this style of discussion will continue till the end of the Perek. So bear in mind that we're going to have this give and take style to the down the upper part of Amud Beis till the end of the Perek. With the narrow part facing upwards, that's they represent Kushio's questions, and when it flips over with the narrow part, with the tapered part facing downwards, those are Tshuva's answers. So the Gemara. Omar Le Rava the Rav Nachman. Once again, Rava opens up a discussion with his question to Rav Nachman. We've noticed in this Gemara, since the beginning of this section of Gemara, after the long Mishnah, Rava addressed Rav Nachman with a question, and this is already the third time that we see this happening. So, Omar Le Rava the Rav Nachman. Umi Omar Rib Shimon Isser Chal Al Isser. Does Rabbi Shimon really hold like that? In our Mishnah, it seemed that he held like that. He spoke about the Isser Nosar attaching itself to the Isser Chalev, and hence the generation of an additional sin offering. However, V'ha Tanya, we have the following Tanaic source, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ha'oichel Nevela B'yoyim HaKippurim Potter. If a person ate Nevela, Nevela is forbidden meat. It's meat that from an animal that died instead of receiving its proper shechita, and he ate that meat on Yom Kippur. Nevela is a negative command that carries with it a penalty of lashing, but nothing more. No kores for Nevela. Eating on Yom Kippur, though, if someone ate a piece of kosher food on Yom Kippur, he is in violation of Yom Kippur, which generates a korban, which generates a kores penalty if one does so willingly. A nevela does not generate a korban chatos. Eating on Yom Kippur kosher food does generate the need for a korban chatos. Yet we see something interesting. If, according to Reb Shimon, if one eats nevela on Yom Kippur, so he is potter, he's exempt from the Yom Kippur violation. He's not considered in violation of Yom Kippur, because the piece, the nevela, was something already forbidden, and therefore the subsequent prohibition of Yom Kippur cannot attach to it. Omar Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi, so you notice the trapezoid flips over. He attempts to resolve our problem by saying, Kegain, the ochal kulya b'chalba. The case in our Mishnah of Nosar Chelev and a violation of Nosar as well as Chelev is simply because the Nosar was violated not as a result of the Chelev, but rather he ate an organ called the Kulya, sometimes translated as the kidney. The kidney has Chelev attached to it. So for eating the kulya, he was in violation of Nosar, and for eating the chalev attached to it, he is in violation of chalev. So you don't have Isser Chal Al Isser. They're two separate entities. The kulya generates the Nosar violation, and the chalev does not. The chalev remains a singular chalev prohibition. The Gemara asks, but still we do have a, by telling me that the kulya becomes usur as a nosar, the kulya is one of the innards of an animal. And when bringing a sacrifice, the innards are put on the mizbeach. They're called oilin. Oilin means they're raised up onto the mizbeach to be sacrificed. It is forbidden for a commoner, for anybody, to benefit. Even a kohen cannot benefit from oilin. Oilin, as we said, is something that's placed on the fire of the mizbeach. So how is it that the nosar, prohibition, can attach itself to something that is already prohibited anyway to benefit from, as it is oilin? The Gemara asks. Now this question lasts a few lines. You'll notice we have a long question marking. The kuf that you see marked to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. This takes you to the bottom line of the Gemara. The Gemara asks, V'kulya b'chalva nami, ha koi alo be'isur oilin, regarding the kulya, it is forbidden anyway, because it is destined to be placed on the fire of the mizbeach, and not to be eaten at all. Therefore, hechi osi isur noisur chayal alo, how can the noisur prohibition come along and attach itself to the kulya? V'chitema, you might say, you might try to say, but it won't be successful. You might try to say, Sivir Olei L'Rav Shimon de Noisar equals Isur Chomer Hu, that Noisar is an example of a more stringent prohibition. It carries with it a Kores penalty, as opposed to the Isur Oilin, which is not punishable by Kores. The Chayel Al Isur Kal de Oilin, and the Isur Chomer of Noisar, can, by virtue of the fact of its intensity, can attach itself to the less severe violation of oilin. Well, v'hana ve'la, the isur kalhu, yet we've seen already the case of the ne've'la on Yom Kippur. Ne've'la is a lesser form of prohibition. The Yom Kippur di isur chomer hu, and Yom Kippur is a more serious type of violation, more intense prohibition. The eating on Yom Kippur, the lo ka'asi iser Yom Kippurim the chamur v'chayel al nevela de kalhu, and we don't see this phenomenon of an intense stringency attaching itself to a lesser level prohibition. So that, how do you account for Shitas Rabbi Shimon in trying to say that for the eating of the kulya b'chalva, that the kulya becomes prohibited as nosar, when it was already prohibited as what we call iser oilin? The Gemara answers, in general, you're right. Ein iser chalal iser, according to Rabbi Shimon, even when the second iser, the second prohibition, is more intense. Ela, bekotchim, goli rachmona de osi iser chalal iser. The Gemara answers that when you're dealing with the realm of sacrifices, we do say that the second Isser, a second Isser, attaches itself to an initial prohibition. Disanya, and evidence of that we see, and we should note before we go further that we have, at this point in the Gemara, we're starting a long answer. This was indicated with a mark to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text at the bottom. We have a little tuf that's enclosed by an inverted trapezoid with a descending vertical dashed line. So the answer takes a few lines to develop. That in the realm of Kochim, we say Isser, Chalal Isser. Now we're at the top of Amud Beis, Desanya, Asher, Lashem. Now this posuk that's quoted in this source is coming from the realm of Tumas Haguf, where a person is experiencing ritual impurity. And in such a state, a person cannot eat, he's forbidden from eating sacrifices. And this source tells us, L'rabois esho emurim, that a person who is in a state of tumas aguf, if he were to eat innards, he would be in violation of eating kochim betumas aguf. Now, how can you say that innards will be also in violation of Tumas Haguf? The Emurim, Koi Olayu B'Isra Olin, the Emurim are prohibited as for eating anyway, as they are oilin. V'chelev koi olayhu v'isur kores. And the chelev, which is part of the emurim, are punishable by the kores punishment if one eats chelev. V'ka'osi isur tuma chayel ala. And we see that the isur of tuma, namely tumas haguf, the prohibition of eating when in a state of tuma, comes and attaches itself, so that a person who would eat the emurim in a state of tumas haguf is not guilty only of the eating of emurim, but he's also guilty of the isur of eating sacrificial substance in a state of tumas haguf. Teda shekein hu. You should know that it is really so that in kachim, in the realm of the in the sacrificial realm, we say iser chalot iser according to everybody. Now we should know, marking wise, we're about to start a long point, and that's indicated by the encircled nun to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and the long descending vertical dash line. All of this has developed the following point, that you should know that in the realm of kachim, everyone will agree that iser chal al iser, a second iser attaches itself to something that was already prohibited. Deha Rebbe, the Gemara goes on, Deha Rebbe, svirole iser chal al iser. Rebbe has an approach that a second isur can attach itself to an earlier prohibition. Vehani mili iser chomor al iser kal. That is qualified, though. His general statement that Isur Chal Isur is limited to a case of where the second prohibition is more intense, more stringent than the first prohibition. Aval Isur Kal Al Isur Chomur Lo. But a light level, a non-intense level, a low-level violation or prohibition cannot attach itself to something that was already prohibited in a serious form, serious level. And yet, ubekoshim shaminon lei, in the realm of sacrifices, we hear Rebbe to hold the iser, the omar, iser kal al iser chomor nami chayel, that a light level offense can attach itself to something that was initially prohibited in a stringent at a stringent level. Toho, and here is the proof. Toho iser mi'ila kal. How do I know that? Misa, the prohibition of mi'ila, violating receiving personal benefit from sanctified items, is an iser kal. How do I know that? It carries with it the penalty of misa bidei shamayim. It's something that is not chayav a korban chatos if done unwittingly. The iser kochim, iser chomor kores. The iser of unlawful consumption of kochim can carry with it a kores penalty. That is particularly the case when you're dealing with the chelev of kochim. The osi iser misa and the iser of mi'ima, which is an iser misa, chayel al iser kores, can attach itself to the iser of chelev of kochim. Desanyo, here we have a Tanaic source that makes the point. Desan Rebbe Omer, kol chelev lashem. L'rabois emure kochim kalim l'mi'ila. This comes to include that the emurim, the innards, which includes chelev, which carries with it a kores penalty, becomes prohibited also as mi'ila, meaning that if one benefits from it, he'll be in violation of mi'ila. U'mi'ila equals iser misa. V'kochayel al iser chelev the iser koresu. You have mi'ila attaching itself to the chelev. So the mi'ila being a lower level offense is superimposed on the chelev, which is a higher level offense. And this is all said by Rebbe. Shmamino bekotchim goli kro. So we see here that in the realm of kotchim, the standard that we apply of iser, halal iser, is different and more, actually more intense than the way we approach iser, halal iser in general. So that this is the, at this point, this is our response to how someone can, on the one hand, hold ein iser halal iser, and yet, if you see a source saying iser halal iser, but it turns out to be a kotchim source, we are telling you that kotchim is different. The Gemara asks, the ha tanya, but we have a Tanaic source in the realm of kotchim, and it says Reb Shimon Oimer ein pigol be'oilin. The ein nosar be'oilin. If you're dealing here with Reb Shimon, and the focus of our whole discussion really is on Reb Shimon, you see in this brief source something that initially was oilin, and it tells us that pigol and nosar, neither one of these prohibitions can attach themselves to those parts of a sacrifice that are called oilin. We see from here that pigul and noser, which are kores-related offenses, pigul being a sacrifice process with an incorrect mindset, noser is leftover sacrificial meat, neither one of these violations has relevance to oilin. Now, we see from here that even an intense level iser, like Noser and Pigol, do not attach themselves to Oilin, to the innards that are one is not to benefit from. So we're saying, once again, that Ein Iser Halal Iser, even when the second Iser is more intense, certainly if the second Iser is going to be, is Kal. This is a direct repudiation of everything we've said till now. Elo, the Gemara responds, Tanoi hi valibo de Rabbi Shimon. It appears, the Gemara answers, that there are two Tanaic opinions as to what Rabbi Shimon himself holds. The Iko di Amri bekotchim iser halal iser. There are those that say that Rabbi Shimon will tell you, like the Tana of our Mishnah, that in the realm of kotchim iser halal iser. Hence, you can have a piece of chilev that becomes osir as nosar. The ego di amri, bekotchim nami ein isur chal al isur. If we look in the, and we should say that this second ego di amri that we labeled as beis, that's the source that said Reb Shimon says there's no pigol nor nosar that's chal on oilin. Just to, for the sake of true accuracy, in our Mishnah, we had asked the question, how can you tell us that there's Iser Halal Iser, even in the case of Kulia B'chalba, the Kulia was already Osir as Iser Oilin, so how can the Kulia become Osir B'nosar? So we're answering right now that our Mishnah is of the opinion that by Kotchim we say Iser Chal Al Iser. Hence, the Kulia, which was Osir as Oilin, becomes Osir as Nosar. The second Iser of the Nosar attaches itself to the Iser Oilin. The Gemara continues with a question, Ulamado Mar B'Kotchim Nami Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. The Brisa that we saw here that said that Pigol and Nosar are not Chal on Oilin, that opinion, Kol Chelev Lashem Mai Ovidle, what does he do with the Pasuk that we saw featured just a few lines up in the Tanaic source that featured Rebbe? You'll notice that we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, where Rebbe cited Kol Chelev to illustrate that Isur chal al isur, that mi'ila is chal on the chelev. What does this opinion do, this opinion holding ein isur chal al isur? Answer, moikim lei bevlode kochim. He will say that it applies to the emurim of sacrificial offspring, offspring of sacrifices. Vikosavar, and he will be of the opinion, in other words, this Manda Omar that says Ein Isur Chal Isur will hold Vlodei Kodshim Behav Yosan Yehu Kedoshim, the offspring of sacrifices gain their sanctity as they emerge, as they are born. Utravayu Bahadodi Osu, and both of these Isurim come simultaneously. In other words, the Isur of Oilin comes together with the second Isur at the same time. Let us take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. He says as follows. We have it underlined in the... you'll find the Rabbeinu Gershom in the lower part of the page, toward the end of his commentary on this perek, my ovid lei, ma moikim lei bevlodei kochim, v'kosavri vlodei kochim b'hav yosan, kishino lodim heim kedoshim. As they emerge, they become sanctified. The travayu, namely Isur Chelev, the Isur Me'ilo, Bahadi, Hadodi, Osu. The prohibition of Chelev, which is the subject of the Pasuk of Kol Chelev Lashem, and the Isur of Kochim, set in simultaneously. The Ad Shehem Me'imon Shliel, when they are as embryos inside their mothers, Ein chelbo osur. The chelev is not forbidden. The chelev of an embryo is not osur. Ukshenolad isur chelbo, osur chelbo. As it's born, the chelev becomes prohibited. V'yeshbo mishum i'ila. And at that point, it also becomes sanctified, in the sense that you, at that point, it gains its sanctity. V'lo havi isur chal al isur, ela bahadodi osu. You don't have a case of a subsequent prohibition being attached onto something previously prohibited, but rather the two Isurim, the Isur of Chelev and the Isur of Kochim, or of Emurim, set in at the same time. So when we say the Isur of Kochim, we're referring to the Isur Me'ila, the prohibition of benefiting from it. That concludes the fifth perek. And we now continue with the sixth perek of Krisus. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. You notice that we've featured the house form. As you scan the Mishnah, you'll notice the use of this house form as well as diamonds that appear. So the house form is under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We've explained Hafroshois, Loshon Mafrish Korban, setting aside something in the sense of sanctifying something. So Hafroshos Shoinois, different types of sacrificial assignments or setting aside, Shenoida Loi Shaloi Nitzrach Lo, that eventually he finds out he didn't need to set aside that particular sacrifice. The diamond will appear in our Mishnah a number of times. They represent shlavim, shonim, different stages. And the different stages will appear under each heading of the Mishnah. If you scan the different house forms, you could see that the Mishnah deals with an osham tolui, an osham vadai, a shor haniskal, and eglo arufa. Each one of these items are associated with a particular event, but there may be discovery that the event for which they were set aside or separated never took place. So we have written under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the diamonds represent Shlavim Shonim, Be'osham Tolui, a person set aside an Oshem Tolui sacrifice because of he was in doubt as to whether he violated a particular sin, Shenoda lo shelo chota, and then it became clear to him that he did not sin. So we'll have a situation where he set aside an Oshem Tolui, and at a certain point it became clear that he didn't sin. Another situation involves an Oshem Vadai Shenoda lo shelo chota. A person had set aside an Oshem thinking that he definitely had sinned, in contradistinction to an Oshem Tolui, which is set aside as a result of being in doubt concerning a possible sin. This is a case of Oshem Vade, where a person had been under the impression that he had definitely done an Oshem worthy violation. Shenodalo Shalochata then he was informed that he didn't sin at all. Case of Shor HaNiskal, that's an animal that was found guilty of having done a capital crime, and that animal is stoned. For example, an animal that killed someone. So the animal, the owner of the animal, has to take his animal to be stoned. And then Shenoda Shalohorag, and then it became clear that the animal did not kill anybody. Be'egla Rufa, this is an animal, it's part of a ritual where an animal is taken, particularly a calf is taken, to have its neck broken in the event that there was doubt concerning a murder. Namely, a murder victim had been found between two cities. The city closer to the place that the corpse was found, they bring an eglo, a calf, and its neck is broken as a form of atonement, being that city is suspected of having produced the murderer. However, you have a case of an egla rufa that is set aside for this ritual, shenimtso hahorig, where the murderer was actually found. In a case where there is a known murderer, in other words, there is an individual known as having committed a murder, the egla rufa is not needed. The egla rufa is only brought in a case of doubt. We don't know from which city the murderer came, and hence the closer of the two cities brings this egla rufa. But when the murderer himself is found, so there's really no need for the egla rufa. What is then done? Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Hamevi Oshem Tolui v'noda loy shelo chata. A person had set aside an Oshem Tolui sacrifice, and it then became known that he did not commit the sin. So it depends at what stage things became clear. Im ad shaloi nishchat, if it was not slaughtered at all, then yetze v'yire be'eder divrei Rabbi Meir. The animal is set free to graze in the man's herd, and it is treated like complete chulin. It has no sanctity. V'chachomim omrim yire ad shistoev. The chomim have a more restrictive approach, that it is set out to graze, but it must, it cannot be used ad shistoev, until it develops a blemish. The mocher, and then the blemished animal will be sold, v'bludomov l'nedava, and the money that you get for its sale will be used for the purchases of voluntary sacrifices. Rebbe Lozer Omer, yikrav. Rebbe Lozer says that even though it's become known that the person has not committed the particular sin that he was in doubt of, offer it anyway. Shimeno bo al chait ze, hare hu bo al chait acher. If it's not needed for this particular sin, it's inevitable that a person committed other sins, so let it be brought to atone for other sins. Up till now, we've dealt with the discovery of the non-sin prior to the slaughter. Im mishenishchat nodalo, if the animal, the Oshem Tolui, was slaughtered, and it then became clear that the sin was never committed, Yishpoch Adam, the blood is spilled to the ditch that's known as the Amo in the temple courtyard, which carries it out, it flows out of the Beis HaMikdash into the area outside of the Har HaBayis. V'habosar yetze l'Beis HaSreifa. The animal is taken out to be burnt. In the way we deal with puzzle, with invalidated sacrifices. Now, a third stage or possibility, Nizrak Adam. The blood of this sacrificed Al Shem Tov, not only was it slaughtered, but the blood was already applied or sprinkled to the altar. The Mishnah says, Ye Ochel, go ahead and eat the meat. It's true that before you're about to eat the meat, the man knows that the sin was never committed, and that technically speaking, he never needed to bring this korban in the first place. So on a very technical level, you've got what appears to be a useless sacrifice. So how in the world could this be that he eats it? Nevertheless, the Mishnah says he eats it. And we'll deal with the issue of how is that so later on. Rabbi Yossi is quote more liberal in this area and says, Afilu hadam bekois izorek. Even if the blood hasn't actually been sprinkled. So he has blood in the kos, and the kos is in the receptacle that holds the blood right before the sprinkling. It becomes known that he never sinned. He had not sinned at all. Rabbi Yossi says, go ahead and process the sacrifice anyway. Go ahead and sprinkle the blood and eat the meat. Once again, the Gemara will deal in greater depth with Rabbi Yossi's shita. Osham Vadai Enokain. The way that we will approach the Osham Vadai is not the same as the way we presented things with regard to the Osham Toloi. Namely, in the case of the Osham Vadai, the Rabbonon don't disagree, and we'll see more about this. We go on. Im Ad Shelo Nishchat. If it became clear that he had not sinned before the Oshem Vadai was slaughtered, Yetze V'yira B'eder. It goes out and grazes like a common animal. You'll notice this can be contrasted with the first line of the Mishnah, which also featured a case of Im Ad Shelo Nishchat. That, in the case of the Oshem Tolui, you'll notice on the second line of the Mishnah, the underlying Chachamim said, Yira Ashi Stoiv. Here, in the case of Oshem Vadai, also a case of Ad Shelo Nishchat, there aren't two opinions here. Everyone agrees that it becomes, it's viewed as Chulin, a totally unsanctified creature. Next stage, Misha Nishchat, Harezei Kover. If it became clear that he had not sinned, the Osham Vadai is to be buried. In other words, the animal was slaughtered thinking that he had sinned. But after it was slaughtered, it became known that he had not sinned. So the animal is buried. Nizrak Adam, if the blood was sprinkled, and only then it became known that he didn't violate the Osham Vadai type sin, Habosar Yetze Lebeis HaSreifa. The meat is taken out to be burnt. This is the way we treat korbanos that are posel, through burning. Another case, Shor HaNiskal Eino Kein. Once again, like we saw when we spoke about the Oshem Vadai, with regard to the Shor HaNiskal, there is no machlokis. The Shor HaNiskal, once again, was an animal that was found guilty in a court of having committed a capital offense, for example, murder. And then it became clear, Im Ad Shelo Niskal, if it became clear that the animal had not committed the killing of the person, Yetze V'yira B'eder. The animal goes out to graze as a perfectly allowed animal. Misha Niskal, Mutar Bahano. If after the animal was stoned, it was discovered that the animal had not killed anybody, so then a person can use the meat and feed it to the dogs or sell it to Gentiles. mutar bahana. It's allowed to benefit. One is allowed to benefit from it. It should be noted that in general, a real shor niskal, an animal that had actually committed a murder, and there's no without anything discovered otherwise, that is osur bahana. So here we have a case of a type of mistaken identity regarding the animal, and therefore it is mutar bahana. Eglo arufo eno kein. Likewise, by the eglo arufo, there is no controversy. Im ad shaloi nerfo. If the murderer was discovered before the calf's neck was broken, teitzei v'tir be'eda. The animal grazes amongst your other animals, and it's chulin and perfectly permissible. Mishenerfo. If the animal's neck was broken, and only then the real murderer was discovered, tikover b'mekoma, the animal is to be buried on it at that spot, shal sofek bo mitchila, it was originally brought because of a doubt, in other words, we don't know where the murderer came from, and we were in that state of doubt till the point that the animal's neck was broken, kipros sveiko v'hochala. At the point of the animal's neck breaking, the suffix still existed. So it atoned for what it was designed for. Therefore, it has accomplished its initial purpose, and therefore we deal with it the way we deal with a standard eglo arufa, even though we discover the murderer later on. Hence, the animal is to be buried, and it is certainly forbidden to benefit from it. The Gemara asks, "B'mai pligi?" Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim had a machlokis in the opening of the Mishnah regarding the osham talui that was the owner was found to have been innocent, namely did not sin, and this discovery took place before the animal was even slaughtered. So what's the point of machlokis whereby Rabbi Meir says that, well, it just becomes chulin, the person did not commit any sin, so there's no need whatsoever for this sacrifice? And bearing in mind, it hasn't been slaughtered yet. The Chachamim, though, say, no, it doesn't become viewed as simple chulin. True, we discovered that he didn't commit the sin, but still, we have to treat it with sanctity. And hence, they said, it's set out to graze until it develops a blemish. B'mai pligi, Rabbi Meir, Sovar, the Gemara answers, Rabbi Meir holds, Kivan delot sorich lei, since it becomes obvious that he doesn't need to bring it at all, lo makdish lei, he wouldn't have sanctified it whatsoever. And therefore, if lacking all sanctity, it becomes like chulin, regular mundane animal. Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon who said that even though it's discovered that he hadn't sinned, we still treat it with sanctity. Mitoich sheliboi noikvoi goymer umakdish. Since at the point that he set it aside, he had a, loosely translated, a guilty conscience or a feeling of guilt, maybe he sinned. True, later on it turned out that he did not sin. But there was a point of doubt when he set the animal aside, and because of this discomfort conscious being bothered, he committed himself to the initial sanctity. So it was sanctified with a complete commitment, and therefore the sanctity takes hold, even though later on it's discovered that he didn't sin. Rabbi Meir, though, he doesn't look at this conscience level concern, but says, bottom line, did he sin or not? And if he didn't sin, he never would have sanctified it. Tana, the Tanaic source says, Bein shenoda lo shechota, ubein shenoda lo shelochota. Pligi Rabbi Meir v'rabonan. Whether he discovered that he sinned, whether he discovered that he did not sin. Let us point out that an Oshem Tolui is brought when a person is in a state of doubt. What happens if that state of doubt disappears because of definitive knowledge? That could go in either of two directions. It can be that he definitely sinned. A person like that who definitely sinned doesn't need to bring an Oshem Tolui. He brings a Korban Chatos, a sin offering, which is a totally different sacrifice. That same individual who was in a state of doubt might discover that he didn't sin at all. This Tanaic source is telling us that when there is clarification, regardless of which direction, whether clarification that he did sin or that he did not, there still is a machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbonan, what do we do with the Oshem Tolui that he initially had set aside? So the Gemara now elaborates, Ben Nodalo Shechota, in the case that he found out that he sinned, we said that the machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim will still apply to the Oshem Tolui that he initially set aside. So in the case that he found out that he definitely sinned, the machlokes is taught, Lehodiach HaKoychei de Rabbi Meir, to show us how far Rabbi Meir goes. The Afagav the Yoda de Chota, even though he discovers that he actually sinned. Kevon de Be'idna de Afrishei Lo Yoda, since at the point in time that he had set aside the Oshem Tolui, the first korban, the Oshem Tolui, he did not know. Teitse v'tira be'eder. When it's discovered now that he actually sins, that original Oshem Tolui he really didn't have to bring because he did sin. We're showing you how far Rabbi Meir goes in saying that it is viewed as chulin, simply because at the time that he set aside the Oshem Tolui, he didn't know that he sinned. And he was in a state of, we'll call, lo yoda, a state of lack of clarity. If we take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom, it's found on the lower part of the page, four lines up from the bottom, he says there, Benoda lo shechoto, where he discovered that he did sin and hence needs to bring a korban chatos now. We teach Rabbi Meir's position, Lodiach HaKoychei de Rabbi Meir, regarding the Oshem Tolui, that it's sent out to become regular chulin, the Afagav the Yoda de Chota, even though it becomes clear that he's a sinner. And you might have thought that retroactively it becomes clear that he needs a sacrifice. Veleve kadosh, and let the Oshem Tolui be sanctified. Komash molon delo. The Gemara is telling us that we are teaching Rabbi Meir's position regarding this case as well, to say that he doesn't say that. Since at the time that he set aside the Oshem Tolui, he really didn't, retroactively, it becomes clear that he really didn't need it. The lo yoda devarei chota. He, at the time he set it aside, he didn't know that he really sinned. But he had that knowledge, he wouldn't have set it aside. Hilkach lo havei matish le'alter legamri. Eloh. Hashto keva de noda lo shechoto kodem shenishchat ha'osham. However, now that he knows that he sinned before the osham was slaughtered, yovi chatos, he brings the chatos, the osham yetze lechulin v'yira be'eder. And the osham, being that he never needed to bring that osham totally, is sent out and treated as regular chulin. So, we have to tell you that the machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim applies in the case of Nodalo, as well as the case of Lo Nodalo. In the case of Nodalo, we're teaching this machlokes to show us how far Rabbi Meir goes. That even though it turns out that he is a sinner, since at the time that he set aside the Oshem Tolui, it becomes clear now that he didn't need it at all, it's allowed to be treated as a totally unsanctified creature. creature. The Gemara continues, Ubenodalo Shalochata, the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir Nachomim is taught also concerning case of Nodalo Shalochata, where it becomes clear that he did not sin at all. To show us how far the Rabbanon go, the Afagav, the Lo Chota, even though he did not sin, since at the time he set it aside, he had this conscience bothering him that maybe he sinned. Therefore, he sanctifies it with a full dedication, with a full commitment to the sanctification. As we continue in the Gemara, we will notice the use of a triangle, and the triangle's position will appear in two different directions. You see, we have a mivneh heading with the triangle point facing up, and we also have a double underline. That's Moida Rabbi Meir Lechachomim. On the next Amud, on Chof Dalid, Amud Aleph, a number of lines from the top, we'll notice a flipped over triangle where the Moidim Chachomim the Rabbi Meir. However, since the style of the Gemara will start now and continue to Amud Beis, this is a convenient place to conclude. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.